Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got one soundbite.
All right, tell me,
to start off Season 4.
Tell me.
Fuck 2020.
Really? Like the whole thing?
Really? Yes, the whole thing. The whole thing need to be gone.
Well, though I'm grateful for life and health and strength, I will say that whatever age I was supposed to be turning December 2020, I'm just going to hold on to it for a whole nother year.
Dead
How
ass.
About that?
Dead ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we mm-hmm. are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. When we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts now.
So first and foremost, let's just talk about where we are. Live for Season 4. We're here in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air mansion.
Can you even believe it?
Deadass like podcast.
My whole entire childhood. Like I'm getting my whole life right here, right now.
I know.
It's insane.
I know. It's very insane. Very nostalgic in
it
here.
It is. You just
feel
walk
good.
In.
I feel good.
Seeing all the memorabilia and
yes.
the pictures around here. I can't even believe it. When I pulled up, I was like, West Philadelphia,
you know,
on the playground. Is it? I'm like, for us, it's Brooklyn, New York. You know, it makes
well,
sense, though.
It does make sense, but it also makes sense that we typically do karaoke. So we decided to begin Season 4 for karaoke. We're going to have a moment of silence for all of the lives lost during the pandemic.
Yes.
Racism and just life in general. So we're going to take this time, have a quick moment of silence. Thank you. So that brings me to story time.
Ah, story time. We got mad stories.
Yes,
quarantine.
We got mad stories
so
for quarantine.
I want to see what you came up with for story time because, Lord.
It's funny. I had some funny stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I had some serious stories, mm-hmm. and I decided to go with a story that kind of encompasses what's been going on for the entire year.
Okay.
And it was early in the year. The pandemic had really hit hard. There were no sports on TV because everything was just out of the ordinary. We were watching CNN every second of the day because we were trying to figure out what was going to happen with COVID-19. And also at the same time, Ahmaud Arbery had, you know, his murder case had started to pick up steam. And then it was Breonna Taylor. And then it was George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And I remember Jackson came over to me and he said, like straight face, he said, "Dad, why do they keep killing us?" And I looked at him and I had realized that this was going to be the moment where I have to have the talk with him about being black in America. And I'll never forget the day because it was 2 days before my birthday. Mm-hmm. And from now on, I'm always going to remember March 31st. That's the day that I had to tell Jackson what it was like to be black in America.
So, I mean, when you think about parenting during the pandemic, mm-hmm. there were many layers to it.
Yes.
When I really like sit back and look at where we were at the end of March, school was no longer in session. We had the coronavirus pandemic. We had the racism pandemic.
Yes.
And so many things going on. So there were many layers to what it meant to be a parent now, because a lot of parents who were either working all the time and away from home, they were now home with their children.
Right.
Children weren't at school.
Right.
So going back to your story time, us having to unpack that time with Jackson, how did it affect you as a black man in America? And I ask that because I know how it affected me as your wife, me as a black woman, me as a mom to three boys,
right.
you know, three whole boys, which I joke about a lot. But I know how I felt about it.
Right.
So I could see the hurt in you, not just for Jackson and for our sons, but for yourself, because you've experienced many different, you know, times where you felt like you were treated unjustly.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I mean, for me, it was unpacking a lot of things, but also recognizing that we were in an uncharted territory when it comes to the world. At this point in the year, Jackson had already lost two of the people that he idolized. Kobe Bryant had died, and then weeks later, Pop Smoke had died.
Oh, Pop Smoke, yes.
So, you know, I was already dealing with death with him because, you know, he was just like, you know, he's just like, yo, like, what is going on?
Right.
And then Ahmaud Arbery's murder was on television.
Right.
And Jackson's at the point now where he can Google anything.
Right.
So it's on YouTube. And then the Breonna Taylor story came up. And then George Floyd. So for me, it was like, okay, how do I compartmentalize? Because I'm angry. I'm pissed. I'm just angry.
Right.
So I want to, my first response is to project that anger onto my child and be like, don't do this, don't do that. You got to be worried about this, white people that, the police this, the police that. But then I said, you know what? Now is the time to educate. Because if I don't educate him properly, he's going to harbor the same anger that I harbored from the time I was young. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents grew up in Brooklyn, and we grew up during the time of Stop and Frisk. And my mom was very adamant about teaching my brother and I at the time, and then my sister, she got older, what it was like to be black, because she was the first class to end segregation in Brooklyn and go to James Madison High School. She was the first class in the early 70s. So she's very passionate about that. But even through that passion, there were certain things that my mom didn't explain to me, because as you learn more and you learn better, you do better. Mm-hmm. So I grew up a little angry, you know, a lot of angry. I'm not going to lie. I grew up a lot of angry.
Yeah.
And I chose in that moment to not put that anger on my son. Mm. So we started to talk about history. And, you know, Aiden was staying at the house at the time.
Our nephew Aiden was with
And the sad part was there was there's no distraction.
Right.
If sports was on, if there was something on TV that they could watch, I could be like, oh, we'll talk about it later.
Right.
Go watch this.
Right. Or even after having that conversation, there was a way to rebound after that. It was just the thickness in the air, the thickness in the house, the atmosphere that was just, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
It was like, how do you rebound from that? It's like, okay, let's go back outside and play. And it was like, I don't know if I really want to play right now.
No, it felt like Groundhog Day, because we watched CNN every single day and they weren't in school. And then, you know, there wasn't much for them to do except go outside. Plus, we had to be away from people. Mm-hmm. So I was his refuge. You was his refuge.
Yeah.
So any question he had or anything he saw, he came running to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand how parents at times become overwhelmed.
Right.
Because I'm still trying to deal with the trauma of watching that on TV. You know, I still got to deal with the fact that we don't know where our next paycheck was going to come. Because I remember in the beginning of March, we had our lowest number of income that we have had in about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because all of the brand partnerships had stopped. We couldn't do the live podcast tour.
Right.
We
had a lot of things going on. Our Viral Renewal got canceled.
Viral Renewal.
For those of you who were, you know, we had a whole season last season that we dedicated to us renewing our vows. And we were hoping to open season 4 with all that, you know, great news and footage and whatnot. And then
everything just came to a halt.
Whole nother plan.
I was frustrated and I had to figure out how I was going to remove that frustration to educate him. Mm-hmm. And I leaned on you a lot. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, you know, as a black man, there's not many places that you feel like a king when you're in America. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're always considered the worst case. You know, you always consider when you step out your house, you consider worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. If I come across a police officer, I got to worry about this. You know, if I go into this store and people start following me, I have to worry about this happening. It's not until you come home that you feel that sense of relief.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with corporate America is the same thing. Like, I can't be too black, because if I'm too black, then they're going to be like, oh, he's the angry black guy. But if I'm not black enough, all my black counterparts are going to be like, oh, he's a sellout.
Right.
So all of that stress is relieved when I come home and I have my queen, my wife. You know, and that brings me to ask you, how did you deal with the fact that you had to deal with all of your kids, your boys, trying to figure out where they stood in the world, and then your husband,
right,
who is just... Like, I was, you knew, you could see it on my face. I was over it.
Yes.
I didn't post in like 4 or 5 days.
Yes.
I didn't post anything funny. How did you deal with that?
For me, it was unpacking several different layers of being Kadeen, being wife, being mom. And I was struggling with finding out where was I going to fall in this whole ecosystem of change, right? Because we felt like also you and I collectively and both individually that we had, it was a responsibility that we had with the platforms that we've built to be able to speak on or address certain topics that were happening at the time. And for me, I felt like it would be tone deaf of me to just continue to produce content that was avoiding what was happening, you know? So I was struggling with that because emotionally I was a wreck. All I could think about was the time we were in, the uprising that was happening, and having to raise 3 black young men in this world of uncertainty, feeling deep down like there was a hopelessness that their change wouldn't even come for their generation. We didn't know when this change was going to happen.
Right.
And then just watching how angry you were and how hurt you were and you feeling like, man, and I know I thought to myself, you know, I was praying one night to God and I was like, what did you see in me to make it fit for me to have 3 boys that I was raising, you know, and the strength that I felt like, you know, you have as a mom, you have a certain level of strength. I'm like, God must have knew better with me, because apparently I have some strength that I don't know about, because the way I love my children and I love my husband, at that point I said, you know what, I may have to disconnect a bit from social media. I remember reaching out to our manager and saying, you know what, I may just need to breathe for a second. Because there was no way that I was going to be able to, you know, there's one thing to be involved in social media and be socially active, but then to just repost memes and repost what you see, to me, I'm like, where am I actually going to evoke change? And to me, it was more important to find out, where was the change going to lie for me? How was I going to, you know, fall in that ecosystem? And then who did I want to affect directly? So I felt like with my hands tied with the coronavirus being, you know, bound into our home, the only place that I could really evoke change that mattered to me was in my household.
Right.
And it was with you, it was with the boys, it was with my parents. Like, we were literally taking that time to now, you know, love on each other.
Yeah.
The love that we may not feel on a day-to-day basis from you know, the outside world. I felt like it was my duty as wife and mom and daughter in that circumstance to create a space for everyone in our household where there was a level of comfort and, you know, you can be emotionally vulnerable if you needed to be. Like, that was my role. I mean, comfort food. Let me tell y'all, the baker that I have become.
Yeah, you was making food every night.
Every
baking
day.
Cookies.
I mean, I was cooking. I'm a whole ass pastry chef.
You made
chef
an apple
now.
Turnover. I never forget. You made
I
an
know,
apple turnover. How did you just decide you're going to make an apple turnover?
I made an apple turnover. Now I'm turning over my joggers. Don't
I mean,
zoom in.
You still look.
Jacob,
you,
don't
you,
zoom
you
into
look
the
good.
Belly fat. All right, thanks.
You look you're good.
You know, I'm trying to make sure I'm intact for y'all on camera.
Well, you was intact for me.
That part.
Plenty of nights, you was my apple turnover.
A lot of stress relief happening in the house.
Apple turnover.
You know? But it really forced me to really evaluate what mattered most to me. And later on in the season, I'm going to talk about just purpose and how that shifted for me and me mm-hmm. really wondering why am I here? Who am I here for? What am I here for? It really gave me a chance to just like decompress and then refocus on the things that really mattered. And I think when we pull away all the distractions that mm-hmm. we've had, you like you said, you know, sports wasn't on for you to just say, oh, I'll talk about it later.
Right.
It's like, oh, you got to run here, there, and everywhere. Being in the house together, it really just forced me to take a look at Kadeen, mm-hmm. the person, the career woman, the wife, the mother, the daughter, the sister, the friend, everything.
Here's the thing. Now that we've unpacked how you felt,
mm-hmm.
how I felt,
mm-hmm.
how did we parent? Or how are we parenting during the pandemic?
Yes.
All right. So there's some funny stories in here, all right, that I got.
Okay.
Number one, prior to the pandemic, uh-huh. Kadeen has been a germaphobe, all right? And y'all have seen me on Instagram make fun of her. We used to get on a plane and she used to bring out a Lysol wipe and wipe down every seat.
Sips.
She used to put the mask on. She used to spray the aerosol can
from
in the plane.
From early.
From all early. Right. So,
as my people would say, from morning, I used to be on them planes disinfecting. Okay?
And it was funny because everything you have done, taking your shoes off before you come in the house, wiping things down, washing your hands, it was almost like normal.
Yeah.
So I remember Jackson saying to me once again, it's like, why people so mad? They got to be clean. So what were people dirty before? And I was just like, yes, they were.
It was a whole hot mess.
So as far as the pandemic was concerned,
right.
Well, that pandemic, mm-hmm. that was normal to us.
Right.
You know, it was a little bit different because the kids had to be in the house. And I think our family's a little bit different because you and I work from home a lot.
Right.
We did travel mm-hmm. a lot prior too. So there were months where we'd be gone, you know, a month here, a month there. We wouldn't see the kids for weeks at a time. So we got time to miss them.
Mm-hmm.
They got time to miss us.
Right.
But for the first time, all five of us and your mom and then your dad came to live with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the whole Joseph clan in the house, guys.
You sure did.
I had Mimi and Papa.
And Papa, yep.
Living in the house with us. And I had realized that when you have time to miss people, you can put up with some of their little quirks.
Right. Because we all got our little
things. All got our little quirks.
I call them isms.
Yes,
so people
isms.
Have their isms that make them who they are.
Yes.
And people aren't always going to be feeling you when you get into your little isms and whatnot.
So when we talk about parenting, we can talk about parenting our parents. Because we pretty much became parents to your parents. And our kids.
Talk about role reversal.
So we have five kids in the house.
Talk about role reversal.
And all the stuff that you think is funny and cute that somebody does when you get a chance to miss them, shit ain't funny no more.
And it's like the boys would be bickering, and then my parents, they start bickering just because they've been married for 36 years, and that's what married people do.
Right.
And I'm just like, yo, what is going on in here? At times, Deval and I just felt like we had to hide. Like, just like hide. And we're just like, you know what, guys? We're going to need to take like an hour or two.
We did.
And we run off and do our own thing for a little bit, you know, safely in the car and whatnot.
In the car.
But
you know what I did learn? I learned how to give not only your parents grace,
mm-hmm.
but the kids grace.
Because
a lot of times parents don't give their kids grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's do what I say and do it
right now
or it's a problem.
Right.
And we don't realize that the kids are going through the same emotional struggles that we're going through. And
talk about it.
This is the first time ever in our life that I had to sit back and say, you know what? Jackson may say something that may be a little off the cuff
mm-hmm.
or like out of his character, and I'm not going to snap. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to realize, like, I realized that Jackson had been with us for now, it was about 3-4 months in a row. Didn't have any outlets, couldn't see his friends.
Talk about outlets. We all need them.
Couldn't see his friends, couldn't see his teacher, all of them.
Yeah.
So he would say stuff sometimes. Like, I remember he snapped on your mom one time. Your mother was saying something to him, and he was like, enough.
What? I
was like,
I didn't hear that one.
No, you didn't.
You didn't. Elbow drop real quick.
See, because that's why, see, as a dad. Because
we don't do disrespect in the house.
We don't, but that's what you realize during a pandemic, that people have their triggers, and kids are allowed to express themselves. Now, you don't allow for disrespect. Of course, I pull him aside, and I was like, why are you talking to your Mimi like that? and I allowed him to explain what he was feeling, what he was going through. And and that's when I realized that he has the same frustrations. And the same way we snap on kids sometimes and afterwards got to apologize. Kids gonna snap. Especially if you have intelligent kids who you encourage them and empower them to use their voice. Sometimes they're going to say stuff. And during the pandemic, I learned to give my kids grace.
Yeah, if that's one thing that we do is encourage our boys to speak up. To speak up not only for themselves, but to help speak up for others.
Absolutely.
Which is why it was also important for us to discuss with them what was happening in the current climate, because we want them to, to be advocates for people as well.
Absolutely.
You know, those who don't have the voice to be. And, you know, with staying home orders, keeping parents home from work, kids home from school, the role of parent really shifted from not just parent to teacher. You're like, I joke about being the lunch lady. DeVal's the physical education teacher.
Yes.
We're an all day playmate sometimes, depending on the child. We were potty training cats in the process. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of patience. But the pandemic, I think, also presented an opportunity for us to connect deeper with the children and
Absolutely.
Really learn each child. You know, we have three children. You and I are the same exact person. I mean, depending on the day. let's be clear. And then I think about our kids, how they have their own little isms and their own individual things that make them tick and
Absolutely.
Their own little personality. So I particularly enjoy the time that I had to just really learn more about who our children are. Because we think about it, they get up in the morning, Jackson goes to school, Kyra would have been going to school full days, and they're literally gone from like 8 a.m. to maybe 3 p.m. And then there's a short window of time where it's like homework, and then there's, you know, dinner, and then they're in bed again. So now we really had like an all day to learn them and to grow with them. And it was interesting when you were doing work with Jackson, his math work. Explain how that really made you realize how his mind worked and how you realized there was a deficit that you had as a dad.
Well, you know how typically you come with the stats, right?
Facts. But you got stats
today? I got stats today.
Let me find out. DeVal did research.
Well, actually, Tribble did the research, but I have them. So I'm going
Tribble,
to present
Tribble's
them
back
to
in
the
action
people.
With the
right?
Thank you.
Shout out to Tribble.
Do
all right?
not let her facts and her time go
I won't.
To waste.
Check this out.
Okay.
According to research, about 64 million Americans are living with children under 18. And since the coronavirus pandemic began in March, over 67% of public schools have been canceled in-person classes, which we all knew, right? Now check this out. 8 out of 10 millennial parents agree that their child is one of their best friends. When we were growing up, that was not the case. Think about that.
Best friends? I don't think
no,
that's that
not been the case. Never. And that's because of the way we parent.
Right.
You know, we even hashtag different. Millennial parenting is different. And this is another reason why. 74% of millennial parents involve their children in household decisions, which is significantly higher than Gen X parents. You see, so there's a reason why. Also, dads are more likely than moms to use YouTube to connect with their children. Now,
whoa.
check
surprise,
this out.
Surprise.
Now, and there's a reason why I gave y'all those stats, okay?
Okay.
As a parent now, you resort back to how you were parented to make sure you're parenting the right way.
Okay.
Right? But studies show
the right way. Though.
The right way, the right way. What we taught. But studies show, and what we realize is that we don't parent and we don't see our children the same way our parents saw us. So there were times during the pandemic where I tried to resort back to what my parents did because things were so different. You know how you go back to what's natural and it wasn't working. And then I started to feel like I was failing as a parent. And that brings us to the homework.
Right.
Jackson started doing third grade math and he and I are sitting down and we were going over Pythagorean theorem, which is extremely advanced
Isn't
for third
like
grade.
Sixth grade math?
Yes.
I'm like, wait, that's third grade math?
So we're Who going knows? Over area, we're going over perimeter, stuff of that nature. And I'm used to him just picking things up, not realizing that he hasn't been in school to be taught this stuff. They're just sending home the work. So we go over the area and I'm like, what's area? And he's just like, length times width. I'm like, boom. So I'm like, what's perimeter? And he's just like, length plus width plus length plus width. I'm like, or it's 2 times length plus width. He's like, I got it, right? So then he do the problems, all of them are wrong. So I'm like, bro, like we went over this. Like, what is area? Length times width. What's perimeter? 2 times length plus width. Okay, do the problems. Gets them wrong. So now I'm screaming and I'm using the same type of force that my mom and dad used with me in homework. And I'm just like, get it right.
The fuse you be got short with homework, all right?
Super short. And the thing is, I don't hit Jackson.
Right.
You know, I used to get popped, right? Mm-hmm. So Jackson was push-ups. We're at about 275 push-ups at this point. Jackson can't do no more push-ups, right?
DeVal, you be doing this like behind closed doors because I don't be witnessing this. Listen, I'm probably running around with Kaz half naked trying to potty train him.
As a father, you're not gonna understand.
I'm
not
going to
understand, even though I'm a father.
I hold my corner. I stay in my lane. So.
I can admit that I fucked up. Players fuck up. I fucked up. All right? So after about 275 push-ups, Jackson's arms damn near about to fall off, right? I'm like, yo, what's the problem? And he was just like, I'm nervous. I'm like, what are you nervous? He said, I'm nervous to get the wrong answer because I don't want to upset you.
Well, it's too late, Jax. Right.
But then I'm thinking to myself and I'm like, wow. I didn't even give him the latitude to try to figure out the problem. I just automatically got upset because he did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that that was a response that typically I got from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was going to school at the time. So I should have been in school paying attention. He wasn't even in school.
Right.
So then I had to kind of check myself and realize that, you know what? I'm not just a dad in this moment. I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers can't give kids push-ups and spaz on them for not doing homework properly. So I was like, you know what? It's time to recalibrate. It's time to use YouTube. So I started to use videos and different things that he could associate with, the things that he felt were comfortable with. And we use YouTube videos to figure out math problems
right. And
make it fun. And I realized that I have to come down to his level sometimes as a parent in a pandemic.
Right, and meet him where he's
and
at.
And meet him and not expect him to be where I am.
Because the way this this little boy now rolls out basketball stats, doing math in his head now. And I'm just like, wow, he's actually starting to get that.
Well, I also got him a tutor.
Yes.
Because I did understand
we
that.
We do also know what we can and can't
what
do.
What I can do. And also, shout out to all of the educators, the teachers out there, because we as a community of people took you for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's just a teacher. He's just a teacher. No, let me explain something to you. Trying to teach 28 to 30 kids Pythagorean theorem in third grade is motherfucking hard.
Facts.
Because I had one kid to teach and right. I failed horribly.
Right.
So
right.
Respect to all of the teachers for the jobs that you
right.
are doing.
Knowing that so many children, they all learn differently.
Yes.
Different approaches. It's like, how is anything traditional when it comes to teaching methods?
No, it's insane. I don't know how they do it.
It's insane. So yeah, that was an interesting story. Because also too, I think you felt like you weren't as involved prior to this with his homework and stuff. Me as well.
I thought I was involved.
You know, because and Jackson's very responsible in that he's just like, I got it. Like, I'm good. I got it. You know?
Yeah.
And I think we took for granted, especially with us traveling and being busy with work and whatnot, we took for granted the fact that, yo, he's still just 9 years old. Like, he still needs to be checked on and looked after
right. And
all that good stuff. You know, but he's just such a nurturing, responsible kid that I think we sometimes take for granted that he may just need some help.
I seen you had some troubles with the two little ones. You know, we kind of delegate responsibility.
Right.
You know, so.
DeVal's like, when they're over five, I got them.
No, that's not true.
I deal with
Kyra and Kaz on a limited basis. All right.
At least he admits it. He admits it. Did we get that on camera that DeVal is part-time when it comes to Kyra and
you
Kaz?
You said that I'm too harsh. You said I was too harsh on Jackson. So I'm going to wait till they get to the level where I can be harsh with them. So I engage with them in ways that I can engage with them, but
right.
you know, at this point, at 3 and 2, they want mommy. So I'm like,
that's true.
Go to mommy, go to mimi, do, you know,
right.
do what you got to do. Come right. to daddy when you want to.
I mean, we did have some like little moments and like little milestones that happened during the pandemic with the kids. Like Cairo, all of a sudden we realized is like this beast athlete.
Yeah.
At 3 years old, almost four, you know, wanting to work out. And I love that they were able to bond our boys. Like Jackson being 5 years older than Cairo, I was always kind of concerned about
closer. Them
not being, you know, really tight because of the age difference. But literally, the two of them particularly have been like this.
Yeah, they got close.
I mean, Cairo wanting to mimic every single thing that Jackson does. Jackson sometimes being like, oh my God, here he goes again. But I'm like, yo, that's the responsibility of the
oldest.
Like,
DeVal's
the oldest. I'm the oldest. We've had the younger siblings that are tagging along all the time. So, you know, Kaz is potty trained now, y'all.
Yes.
For the most part, he got
Kaz
down number
potty
one.
Trained.
Number two is touch and go. Number two is touch and go. But hey, praise be to God that there is some progress.
Yes.
Any other moments that you can pick out during quarantine that you really felt like, this is like a heartwarming time for me with these boys?
No, I mean, in totality, it was just like realizing that as much as you think you're involved when there's so much distractions going on in the world
mm-hmm.
and One thing I will say about 2020, everybody was saying 2020 is my year, it's the year of clear vision. It cleared up a lot of stuff for me as far as being a father, because for the first time in my life, I had nothing else to do but be a father.
Right.
And you realize if you're the type of person, and I got this from being an athlete, is that the eye in the sky don't lie. You know, you mm-hmm. always have to reflect on what you've done mm-hmm. and own up to what's wrong and what's right. Mm-hmm. When you have no other distractions because there's no work, you can't go outside, and all you have to focus on is your children, it will show you as a parent how much you're not doing and how yeah. much you could be impeding the progress of your children by your actions.
Yeah.
And I think
or
that's
lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. That is what the pandemic has showed me. Mm-hmm. And it also showed me how intuitive our children are.
Yeah.
Because there were times where, you know, Jackson walks over and mm-hmm. he'll just be like, "Mom, you good?
Daddy, you good?" Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Brings me to tears every single time, because I was like, "You really be caring about me." Like, yeah. there's this little person that actually cares about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dope. I mean, I've come across, thanks to Dribble, 10 facts to strengthen a parent-child relationship. All
right? Okay, let me see.
So let's see how good we are here. Let's see if we can give ourselves like checks or whatever. So number one, aim for 12 hugs or physical connections every day. Physical therapist Virginia
Satir.
How
they come up with that number?
Well, according to Virginia, she famously said we need 4 hugs a day for survival, we need 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and we need 12 hugs a day for growth. I see our audience in the back there shaking their head. Is that true? That's mad hugs. That's about 36 physical interactions for us per day.
Well,
what doing the math.
What if your children, because we talked about teaching our children how to say no. Kaz, for example, I found out, is not a guy who enjoys physical touch.
Right.
You know, Kaz, yeah. come give me a hug.
No.
And I want him to be okay
right.
saying no.
Right.
Because we want to teach them about personal boundaries and that you have
Facts.
Autonomy over your
yeah.
boundary, over yourself. You know, long gone is the whole give auntie a hug, give uncle a hug, sit on this one's lap, because that creates generational trauma where they feel like adults have access to them physically. So.
Right.
If my kids don't want 12 hugs,
But
not
I mean, you have different
hugs.
Ways of interacting. Like you know, like give me 2, so they'll give you like the punch. Like that's a way of engaging, I think, physically with them, where they're just like, oh, okay. You know,
I mean, if
I'll
they can
that...
equate punching me in the stomach to hugs, then we cool. Because
right.
my kids don't
like...
mind punching me in the stomach. That's our thing. That's what
jumping all over you,
jumping on my
all
back.
That,
yeah,
you know. So that's good. I mean, I would say that's pretty
well,
fair. I fall around
number
here with
2,
the kids. I'll grab them and kiss them. I don't care. You came out of my whole body. You were in my whole entire body. For a good 9 to 10 months.
Right.
Okay. So don't act like you don't know where you came from, bro.
Right.
All right. Play, laughter, and roughhousing keeps you connected with your child by stimulating endorphins and oxytocin in both of you. Making laughter a daily habit also gives the child a chance to laugh out the anxieties and upsets that otherwise make them feel disconnected and more likely to act out.
So you already know that I do that.
Yeah,
since we have
like
boys,
nonstop.
It's a thing. And this is the thing that I created during the pandemic, where I call them over like I'm a stern dad voice. Jackson, Cairo, Kaz, come in. And they walk over and I say, "Did I tell you I love you today?" And they always smile and they go, "No." And then I give them a hug. I kiss them on the forehead. I pick them up. And then I punch him in the stomach and I tell him, "Get away from me."
That is a thing.
That's a thing that I developed.
And I usually stand back in the cut and be like,
but that's something that we developed.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Because sometimes during a pandemic, you forget to tell your kids. You see them all the time.
Yeah.
And the days roll into each other. You forget to tell them that you love them.
Oh, talk about the monotony, okay?
Right. And
like,
before
what
you
day
know
is
it,
it,
it's 2-3-4 days. You're like, I hadn't said anything but negative things to my kids.
The best part is that I have adopted that philosophy as well. So there are many moments when I walk over to Deval and I'm like, "Did you tell me that you love me today?"
You do that?
And then you be like, "No."
I always say no.
Right, exactly.
Did I grab your booty today?
Did you?
Can you go to number 3,
number
please?
Number 3. This is probably my favorite one, even though it sometimes seems virtually impossible because we're trying to juggle work and whatnot. Turn off technology when you interact with your child. Cairo point blank told me one day, "Mommy, get off your phone.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
talking to you."
Yes.
With the most
stern
little 3-year-old.
Yes.
Well, you know Cairo's voice is a little deep for a 4-year-old. And he was just like, "Mommy, I'm talking to you. Turn off
Turn
your,
up
phone.
Your phone.
You're not looking at me." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm not looking at you for real." And I was like, "Okay." And I put my phone down and I came down to his level and I was like, "Yes, Cairo." Because he was telling me a story or something of the sort. And I was just totally not engaged. It's almost impossible sometimes.
I've been there
I feel
before.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, we've had this conversation.
Oh, with Cairo, you mean? Yeah.
No, we've had this conversation with you. Like, we'll be talking, and this is Kadeem's favorite thing to do. Uh-huh.
I'm listening to you. I'm listening. I feel like I can multitask. What? So I'm like, I'm listening with one ear, and I'm, you know, replying to something in the other. It's just that, yeah.
You know how nobody wants to be multitasked.
I agree.
I don't want to be multitasked.
The Lord is working on me.
I know the kids don't want to be multitasked.
Facts. Connect before transitions. So I guess creating this new normal for kids, because we're all transitioning and pivoting into what is now the new normal for us, which right. I hate to say new normal. I feel like it's the new temporary.
Well, I do want to explain this next one because I think this one is important.
Got you.
It says make time for one-on-one time. Do whatever you need to do to schedule 15 minutes with each child separately every day.
Vital.
You and I made a point of saying that, okay, today is mommy and Roe day.
Yes.
Just y'all two.
Yes.
Today is mommy and Kaz day. Today's daddy and Jackson's day.
Mm-hmm.
We made a point to do that so each child feel like they have a bond with each parent individually, and they're just not the sum of a whole.
For sure.
Which is important.
No, it's great. I like to be able to kind of rotate that too,
because
it's not just like DeVal with one child all the time, or me with the other all the time, or my mom or dad with one, but it was nice to rotate that. And we have our own little like things. I feel like I'm developing like little things with Jackson that are like our inside jokes.
Yeah.
Like, his sense of humor is so bomb.
It's funny.
He and I, there was something that my mom did, and my brother and my sister and I joke on my mom and dad all the time. Like, it just comes with the territory. So there's something that my mom did, and I started cracking up to myself, and I look over at Jackson, and he is on the floor laughing.
We were
laughing at the same thing.
Y'all two are idiots.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the moment when Jackson got the joke.
And then your mother goes, now you have my grandkids making fun of me.
Yes,
and like, y'all two laughing, crying.
Like, literally in tears,
like,
me and Jackson.
What is wrong with y'all?
It was something so simple and stupid she did. She probably pronounced something wrong. She probably said like, oh, get his birth certificate, like a true Jamaican. I'm like, you mean birth certificate, mom? No, just certificate.
And y'all wouldn't stop laughing.
Could not stop laughing. And I'll just list off the other five, so that way we don't take up too much time going through. But welcome emotion, listen and empathize, slow down and savor the moment. I've been doing that lately, sucking it all up. Bedtime snuggles and chat.
I could have got you right there, but then, I'm going to let that rock.
That's why I kept moving. DeVal.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen. You set it up. I could
have
dunked it, but
I know you could
have.
I totally would have handed it to you too with the whole assist. Bedtime snuggles and chat, and then show up. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and get into some ads. So that way we could move on to my favorite portion of the show. Listener letters.
She's still nosy, y'all. She's still nosy.
Yep. Ain't much have changed. That's one constant from 2019 to 2020 for me. I still want to be knowing what's going on in y'all life. And y'all be telling me. I mean, y'all be emailing us and whatnot. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, we're back for listener letters, Kadeen's favorite part of the show.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to jump right into it.
You're going to jump in? All right. Yes. Go ahead and read for me.
My husband and I both drive a lot for our jobs and listen in the car. Deadass sparks great discussions over dinner when we're home. We've been married almost 2 years and we're entering the when should we have kids conversation. We both want kids, but we are so happy as a couple right now. It's scary to know our lives will change so much. How did you know when the time was right?
Yay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
first
for listening.
Off.
Yes.
And to know that we're sparking conversations,
yes.
Healthy conversations.
That's the whole point.
That's what this was about. This is not just therapy for us, but what we're hoping is that it will continue to, you know, encourage people to engage in conversations with their significant other, friends, family, all that good stuff. So happy to hear that. Thank you so much, sis. What I'm also gathering from this statement here or this paragraph is that you both want kids, but you're happy right now and you know that things will change so much. I think that's one thing we've made clear, that children definitely change a lot of things. I think having to decipher when is the right time is almost impossible in a sense.
There's
like
no
there's
right
certain
time.
Practical things that you need to have in place. For example, do you have a roof over your head? Are you making money? You know, there's certain things that you know you need to have when you are preparing to start a family. But if you're debating on that actual right time, it feels like you're never really ready to like dive in. You know what I mean? It's almost like that double dutch rope when you're like, you know, and I'll stand out there forever like, oh, here's the rope. Do I jump in?
Can you still jump? Can you still jump double dutch?
I wonder if I can. I haven't done that in years.
I would love to see you jump double dutch.
I would love to take it back.
With your earrings on, this hair, everything.
With my hair.
You holding your chest right here and your hand going.
And then you go in. And then you pop up. Hey.
I'd be watching.
That took me back. I know you would be. Let me, you know what? You were such a creep. But anyway, that being said, it's kind of like this, like trying to get in the rope. But once you get in, as long as nobody's double-handed, you will be able to start jumping and catch your rhythm. And then you go. You know what I mean? Like, that's my analogy when it comes to parenting. You know, there's never really the right time. But it's like you step up to the plate. You're ready to jump in because you know you have you're equipped to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're wearing the right sneakers. Your laces are tied tight. And then you can just jump right in. So I say, you know what? You guys are happy as a couple. That's an amazing thing. And I think you can work on being happy as individuals as well. Mm. So then when you become parents, you can be great parents individually as well.
I like,
you know,
that.
And share that happiness that you have for each other with your children. Because there's nothing better for me than having a child with my husband, knowing how much I love him, how much I knew that he was going to be an amazing father. Like, those were all things that encouraged me to be like, you know what? I'm about to get it popping on this honeymoon. And we were fortunate and blessed enough to get pregnant on the first try.
Right away.
So, yeah.
I just think that... when you're happy with your significant other, take the time to get to know them. Take the time to do some of the things on your bucket list together first, because once you do have children, things definitely change. So the fact that you're planning, knock some things off your bucket list, enjoy each other, make the decision, and then move forward. Because there is no wrong decision in life. There's no wrong decision. Like, life is your canvas. You make of it what you want to make of it. So there's no right time. There's no wrong time. You just make the best out of the time you have. And children are always a blessing. So enjoy each other and then make that decision.
And I promise you, once you do have a child, you will almost not even recognize or be able to remember what life was like without them. You know what I mean?
No, I can remember what life was like without them. I remember.
That's true.
Yes, I do.
That's true. That's a lie.
That sounds like, see, this, and this is important. And I said that. This is important because men and women have different mentalities when it comes to having kids.
It is different.
And this is the truth. Okay. Once the kids come, mom's sole purpose is the kids. So, dude, understand this. Once these kids come, you don't matter no more. All right?
There's levels to the man.
Hold on.
Don't matter.
Hold on. Let me finish my thought. I finish my thought.
All right, go ahead. Finish your thought.
As a man, when you ask a woman to marry you and to bear your children, you have to understand that you made that choice. I was talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. You made that choice that this woman is going to have your children. She is going to put those children first, and you are always going to be second to the children. That's what you decided.
Right.
So at that point, you can't then be like, I'm tired of being behind the kids. So understand that once you make that choice, that's what it's going to be.
Right.
And don't have children until you're ready to accept that. I was not prepared for that and wasn't aware of that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got older in our marriage that I realized what it was. And I had to own up the fact that, you know what? I asked Kay to marry me, and I wanted her to have children. If she's not putting the children first and I'm not putting the children first, because I put Kay first. Mm-hmm. As a man, my sole responsibility is my wife. And I just feel like her responsibility is the kids. For me, it's her. Her is the kids. If she's focused on me and I'm focused on her, who's focused on the kids?
That is a fact.
So that's just the reality of it. Like,
that is true. That is true. And women, you know, being the vessel of life,
yes,
we have a different, a completely different connection and bond with each child.
Absolutely.
Having gone through pregnancy, even women who are going through unconventional ways of getting pregnant, still there's that maternal instinct that kicks in, whether you have a child via surrogate. There's a maternal instinct that kicks in once you know that you are mothering a child. So naturally, a lot of focus goes to that baby, but then you have to also realize that you did not have this baby alone. This baby was made through love, which I would hope, and that you also have to, you know, give daddy some time too. You know, make some time.
I appreciate
for that. Make some time for that. I'm still working on it, you know.
Yes, a work in progress, you know, from both. Like, the same way she had to learn to give daddy some time, I had to learn to respect the fact that the kids are going to have to be first.
Facts.
So also understand to give each other grace as you're going through this process of life and changing, because you're not going to have all the answers to understand it. Mm-hmm. So if your wife is upset about something, understand that she has validity in being upset. If you're upset, give yourself grace and say, you know what? I feel like this. Why do I feel like this? But understand that you're entitled to feel that way, but work your way through
it. Very good point. All right, girl. Mm-hmm. Hope that helped. All right. And we have one more listener letter for this episode today. Hey, Deval and Kadeen, I need some advice. My boyfriend and I have been in a relationship for a little over a year. We're both 28 years old. I've struggled for some time on whether or not this relationship is for me. I know. If you have to ask, it probably isn't, but it's not that simple. At least you know, sis. You put that in there. I don't have any kids, but he has 3 kids, 7, 7, and 5. I'm assuming twins. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like it's holds
me back. I don't
know.
He ain't say twins, 7-year-old twins and five. He said 7-7 and five.
I was trying
five.
To give Bro the benefit of the doubt, but it could be two.
I'm reading between the lines here. She says she's not sure if this relationship is going to work. Some things is there.
But you jumping through the story. You jumping through the story here. Sometimes I feel like it holds me back from what I want to do in life. I'm young. I'm a registered nurse. Okay, sis. Currently working on my MSN to be a nurse practitioner. Okay, sis. I feel like I'm successful for my age. I want to travel and take trips and live my best life. It's hard for him to keep up with me because of the kids. I understand that he's a father and that's his priority, but I worked hard to get where I am. I don't want to waste my years away. What makes it harder is his kids love me. If I leave, I feel like I'm hurting them too. They'll get over it. You ain't they mama.
Yo,
they'll get
that's
over it.
Messed up.
I'm Sis,
yo!
Sis, you set all this up to say. You got all this going for yourself. You this, you that. You are all that. You want to live your best life. Do you really want to be a mother to three kids that are not yours? That could be twins or not twins.
I don't even know who you are right now.
Listen, these kids nowadays are resilient.
I don't know.
They are built differently. They are a different breed. They will be all right. And you are not their mother. So.
I am appalled by that
answer.
Buy
them a parting gift. Buy them a parting gift. Amazon got mad deals, sis. I can send you links. You can even borrow my Prime account.
Y'all.
Send them some parting gifts and be on your merry way.
Is there vodka in this? I'm
gonna take period. Period. Period.
All right.
With a T.
Is it my go? Is it my go?
That's my 2 cents.
Okay. No. No. Lady, listen.
All right.
Once you decide you're going to deal with a man with kids, you made a responsibility to get in those kids' lives. You can't at that point just be like, you know what, peace, I'm out. If you didn't want to deal with the kids from the very beginning, you should have been like, nah, you got kids. I ain't with it. To play double dutch, like you said earlier, to play double dutch with these kids' emotions, it's straight messed up. That's
I mean,
jacked
it's been
up.
A little over a year, though. That's not really.
What if somebody did
time?
That to Jackson, Kyron, and Kaz? What if you and me got. Hold up. Hello. I let you have
your imaginary circumstances.
I let you have
now.
Your time.
You
let you have your time. Can I have my time, please?
Stop with your hypothetical.
Can I have my time?
Stop.
I can't even get my time.
Stop with your
hypothetical. I can't even get my time.
Stepmothers.
I can't get
there
my time.
None of those.
Are you done?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hypothetically, right?
Right.
You die. Right, I'm just saying. Let me get through
I
my hypothetical because
die.
hypothetically, we can't get a divorce because then you're not even let me get my story
Jesus.
Done.
Don't be putting death on me, but okay, go ahead.
Hypothetically,
go ahead.
You die, right? Mm-hmm. But you still up there in the esoteric sky, and
facts.
You can see what's going on, right?
Watching down.
I start dealing with a chick, right? Mm-hmm. She starts to be motherly to our children, right? And then out of nowhere, because she want to go to Bali, she just decides she want to be up and gone. You're gonna haunt that lady. You are gonna go to her house in her sleep, and then you're gonna be like,
"What you mean? I'm gonna go fly to Bali?"
Yes,
and be like, woo,
yes,
woo,
that's what you're gonna do. Woo. Dress just like this.
Yes,
except
facts.
you make
have a whole glam squad.
Exactly,
up
and,
in,
you, and
not,
you're gonna
not,
drive
not
her crazy.
People, though, I want y'all to live, but I'll find somebody up in
so
heaven.
Would you want some? Exactly. So you would haunt her because she did that to our kids. But you telling this lady to do that?
Actually,
to some
no,
other
I would haunt
kids?
Your ass for introducing her to my children for a little over
you
a
died.
Year.
You died.
But still,
but you died.
You got my mom. You got my sister. You got your mom. You got people. You could send the kids to when you want to go frolic with her in Bali sand. Don't be doing that with my kids and then putting them through no emotional.
Now I'm in trouble for a hypothetical. Y'all see what I'm saying? You know what? That's the end of listener letters for today because I'm not even trying. You're looking good and
sis,
I'm trying to get some of that.
Live your best life. You are RN. You are young. You are doing your thing.
Sis,
you are
be responsible. Be responsible with them kids,
popping.
Sis.
If anything,
this
it
is
may
a perfect example.
A
me and her don't be agreeing on everything. I don't agree on that. So I don't
all right,
agree
well,
on
we
that.
Can agree to disagree.
You foul. You foul.
I gave you my perspective. DeVal gave you his perspective. Take a little bit, leave a lot. Whatever you're going to do, girl. But I'm
you
proud
starting
of you.
To
go do your thing.
That's messed
not right
up.
Now?
2020, you living
well,
in
well, after this, I don't know if y'all going to want to write in for listener letters. But if you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com. That is.
That is deadassadvice@gmail.com. Here's my moment of truth. It's very simple. It's very short. While you're going through the pandemic with your children, give them grace. Give yourself grace. This is uncharted territory. Allow them to grow as people. You grow as a person and have as much fun as possible because this will be over soon. We just got to get through it together.
God willing. Absolutely. And my moment of truth is that the days may be long, but the years are short. And when you really think about it.
You came with the profoundness on that.
I heard that somewhere though. Don't you can Google that. I'm not trying to plagiarize or whatnot. However, I'm just saying that I heard that somewhere before.
I was about to give you credit for that.
But I heard it before.
Taking it back.
But it'd be hitting though. It'd be hitting. The days are long. And talk about being in quarantine. It's like 24 hours, like you said, perfectly. Groundhog day up in this bitch, like all the time. You know what I mean? It's the same, the same. But when you really think about the grand scheme of things, the years fly by with these kids. So just try to make the best of the situation. Try to like savor those moments. It goes so incredibly fast. When Jackson turned 9, he looked at me and said, "Mommy, I just turned 9. You know, that's like half of my life with you guys. Another half, I'm going to be 18 and I'm going to be an adult." I was like, oh my God. Like, I literally...
He's going to be gone too. He's
not.
Yes, he will.
Babies, y'all can always come back home, just so y'all know.
No, you can't. Let me look right in the camera and say this. No, you cannot.
Now you gonna
There's going to come a point in your life where it's going to go back to before we had kids.
Yo, DeVal, how you going to be sitting here in the Bel Air mansion? Shout out to Airbnb one more time. How are you going to be sitting in here and talk about our kids never coming back home? Like, they kids came back. Hillary was almost all the way engaged.
And did you see how Uncle Phil looked every time he walked in his kitchen and them kids was in there? did you see it? He was pissed. He was like, I gave y'all a pool house. I got you an apartment and you still here? There's gonna come a point where I'm going to just want my wife. When they grown,
that's true.
I'm going to want my wife.
Touche.
Looking just like this.
Touche.
All right.
Got to do what it do.
So but moment, yeah, I appreciate that's your moment it. Of truth, Thank but y'all you. Can't come back home after college.
Fine.
All right.
Fine.
Yes.
To be continued. We'll discuss that in another 9 years. Be sure to follow us on social media. Like we said, now we kicked off season 4 with an Instagram page because y'all have been asking for it. So Dead Ass the Podcast, and you can find me, Kadeen I Am, as usual on Instagram and all over.
And that's I Am DeVal. And once again, shout out to iHeart. We're now part of the iHeart family. So much love to iHeart. You can find us here. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Exactly. And let's kick off this new season with you telling a friend, tell somebody, engage in some conversations, if you will. Catch up on the past episodes. Listen to future ones. Be sure to listen wherever you listen.
Deadass.
Deadass, baby.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.